Dancers are home Saturday, February 14th at the BCA, 1 p.m. It's Valentine's Day family matinee. Free kisses from Lancer players, dancers, and Lancer Louie. Call 872-KICK or ourlancers.com. Feel the kick, baby!
Live from the Rochester Sport Network studios in Gates, New York, it's Rochester Sports Mumbling!
Yeah!
Presented by Salvatore's and the Rochester Razor Sharks. With your hosts, Matt Goldman and John Cargill.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And here's your host, Matt Goldman.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. That's Patrick, the announcer.
Thank you very much.
Stick around for a second. Patrick, we just came from Rock Podfest 2.
A lot of fun.
That's right.
Which was pretty awesome. Unfortunately, I can't put up the YouTube video because it was cutting in and out. What was going on with that?
I have no idea. That was the stream.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff just happens.
Your headphones not working? They are working or no?
Good.
Okay. Let's not be touching stuff. Okay.
I told him.
Thank you.
Don't touch stuff to fix stuff.
No,
I told him to touch.
Okay. What? Well, that's the kind of stuff that is on the mixer that we're not going to touch. Okay. All right. Anyways, so no, there is a little.
What happened
there
was
is
my
a little bit
my,
of tension.
My headphone,
I'm not gonna
my
lie.
Headphone came out. And
right,
I asked
but
him to push it in.
I know, but there's
no,
the
no,
one
that is not what the tension.
The one cord is for the mixer, and we've had problems with that before. So I just get a little antsy when people start touching stuff.
Is my mic even on? I can't even.
Yeah,
you're good.
You're totally
good.
On.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
No one unplugged
this
you.
This is a great start.
Honest to God, what's going on here?
I'm
standing,
partners, listen.
I'm standing
this
across
is
the
hall. This is normal.
No, here,
I'm standing across the hall, and I can hear screaming about disrespect.
Right. Well, here's
oh, no, that was not even about him.
Thing.
That was something we were, talk, we were
you know
talking
how,
about.
You know how, like, radio duos, you know what I mean? We have, you know, Opie and Anthony and Scott and Todd and things like that. You know,
Ron and Fez.
Well, yeah, when you work with someone every week, you know, you get on each other's nerves a little bit.
You see them too much.
Right.
That's being kind of generous to put yourselves in that league with
what are you trying to say?
You guys see each other for an hour once a week.
Right, which is it's an hour too much. To be honest. But
yeah,
you know,
is this a race thing?
Uh-huh. No. All right, let's stop.
This is not
Chamber Boys. We're not going to go into a whole shock jock thing here.
Shock jock.
And you're right. Really, we have not a lot of people listening. I mean, we do. We
I'm
do have people
you,
listening,
saying,
but we're not on the levels of, you know, the people we mentioned.
No.
But you know what?
Do
I think.
Guys,
well, what about Ron?
Should we hug it out?
You guys should hug it out.
All right, let's hear. John, come here. Give me a hug.
No.
Come here, give me a hug.
I will give you a handshake.
Dog, give me a hug or your mic gets turned off.
See, this is the problem. This is what happens. You guys have 56 minutes left in the show.
He's closer to the switch.
You guys have 56 minutes left in the show.
We do.
Clear the
All right, we got to get this going. All right? Listen, because we have a packed show tonight, all right? We are going to have
exciting show.
We had at Rock Podfest 2 at the Record Archive, which was a smashing success. Great crowd there. There were people watching on YouTube. It was a lot of fun, a lot of great shows. The one that was my favorite was the
Monkey Show.
No, the Monkey Show was a little weird because he had his laptop out. Did you see the Monkey Show?
Which one was that? The guy,
yeah, the guy had his laptop because his partner wasn't there.
Yeah, that was a little weird. That was definitely.
I felt like I was watching some like futuristic like podcast where you know. I guess that's going to be the thing. You just bring your or like, it was like the South Park when the one kid had no friends and he finally makes a friend with Kyle on Facebook.
Yeah, the
Facebook. So he brings his laptop to the movie theater so he can have Kyle there. So
it was a very dry sense of humor on the Monkey Show.
Obviously the best was our friends at the Monday Medicine show, Under the Skin.
Oh, yeah.
With the cherry bombs,
that
so
was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, so they brought out what did they do last year? By the way, were you there last year?
I wasn't there, but from what I've heard,
yeah. What did they do last year?
They did what they called the Triangle of Terror, and they had one of them wore some kind of like electrocution collar, then they would shock them. Someone else had a spinning toy, let's say
an adult toy.
An adult toy.
Oh my god! Okay.
and that would like whack one of them in the face. It was a whole to do. And then the third one was someone was getting waxed.
Okay.
Getting his chest waxed.
Speaking of that, Chamber Boys is tonight, right?
That's correct.
And I hear someone is supposed to get waxed on Chamber Boys.
That's true. Muna and Matt are going to get waxed.
Oh, Matt is back?
Matt is
Fat
back
Matt?
For this show,
I love
yeah.
Fat Matt. They have this hilarious character named Fat Matt, and he's just this
You're the only one who calls him Fat Matt. But I like that our fan base is... Yeah, it is.
I thought that was his name.
Does he have a lot of hair to get waxed on?
I don't know. We're going
to
find
out. No, I think he looks like he's pretty hairy. Looks like he's really hairy. Yeah, so that should be interesting. 9 o'clock tonight, Chamber Boys on Facebook and YouTube, correct?
Yep.
I love your show. Keep up the good work. Muna's getting his ass waxed.
His buttocks it's waxed.
Disgusting.
It is.
It's really sick.
I think the
it's really
John's
sick
upset
and twisted.
I'm not upset. I'm just like
you should be upset because it's disgusting.
Well, it's not upsetting. It just sounds painful.
It is painful. It's very painful. Have you ever been waxed? Anyone in this
No,
room?
God, no.
It's awful. It's the worst.
All right. Well, that should be fun tonight. 9 o'clock. Chamber Boys.
Chamberboys.com.
Chamberboys.com.
Check it out.
That's the easiest way.
I'm gonna head out because I got to get right. my show.
We will talk to you. Thank you, Patrick. I guess that was the buzzing. That mic sucks. That was. You hear the buzzing went away?
Whoa.
Anyways, we have a lot to talk about at PodFest during our segment, which
great.
Unfortunately the YouTube video got cut a bunch of times. So like our set was cut down to 4 minutes.
Really?
I think it happened inadvertently, but I don't know why. But anyways, we had Elliot Falsky, the Mohican Warrior, on.
Maybe
who,
they didn't like the...
No. It, I think it was a technical thing. But the Mohican Warrior, who, of course... is enemies with Dominic Cicluna, the owner of the Detroit Wazza Flow,
for the Las Vegas
who
Legends.
Traded himself, we found out last week, he traded himself to the Las Vegas Legends, and they subsequently beat the Baltimore Blast 5-4 in overtime. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, and I heard that was the beginning of the Blast troubles. They were then taken down. By
San Diego
Sockers.
So yeah, they lost twice. They after going 13-0 to start the season, they lost twice.
It's hard to go undefeated for any team, though. I mean,
but which bodes well for the Lancers,
or does it? Because they could, it could have fired them up.
I think, yeah, but I don't think they need to be fired up, anyways. I mean, they're possibly the best team in the league. It's looking like
it's
now
a good possibility.
Missouri, though, is the actual best team in the MASL.
Same thing with San Diego is a pretty good
San
team,
Diego's
too.
Not bad, and obviously Monterey's pretty good. Milwaukee's looking better. I don't know why I keep mentioning them. I like them. I like the way they play. I think they got a great defense. I don't think they're a Missouri or a Baltimore necessarily.
I think that we have a lot to look forward to in this next upcoming game because, like you said, my first thought was, you know, maybe this opened their eyes. Maybe it softened them up, but then again, they could come out on fire wanting, you know, to beat up on somebody. I think it's going to be great, especially since they lost. This is an amazing thing to see a team like that lose. Not that I don't like them, but, you know, after talking to Elliot about the way that they carry themselves, it's just nice to see.
Well, anyways, our good friend Dominic Cicluna, we're going to hear from him again tonight because we got it. Awesome. We have to ask him. All right. We have to ask him about trading himself.
And I think it'd be nice to him to get this out in the air. I'm sure he really wants to.
There was a great article. I was texting him, and there was a great article in the Detroit Free Press, actually, that kind of described the whole thing. And although, it's as far as the Wazza Flow goes, it's not, like, press for the best reason. I mean, the owner trading himself to a team that was doing a lot better. It's good press, and it's good press for the league.
Well, not only that, but... I mean, if you really think about it, if he did this, he loves that team. That's something he put a lot of time into. There's probably a bigger reason for it.
So the article said that the owner of the Legends basically said they brought him in. Yeah, for his talent. I mean, he's obviously a very talented indoor player. But I think also for the entertainment value. I mean, you're in Vegas. You're trying to entertain his halftime show. I think literally his halftime show is... his kick around at halftime, his juggling, got himself that job in Vegas. You know, and I told you that I, because he's 43. All right, you know, he scored one goal this year. Okay, so he's not a ringer, But I think he's so entertaining. He's like Elliot. He's such a showman.
He is a showman. That's one thing you can't argue.
It goes beyond the game with him. You know what I mean?
And I think like kind of like what Elliot was saying at PodFest, these little hiccups are something that we can embrace in the league right now.
Right.
And I think that that's part of it right there is, you know, having someone who can do a juggling halftime show who's willing to do that. Plus, you know, like you said, he's not a real goal scorer. He's not a ringer, but he is a player. He is passionate. He's very passionate.
Yeah, obviously. That's for sure. And we're going to hear from him again. Also, I wanted to talk about a topic that is very important to me, and I think you'll enjoy this as well. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the future of fighting in the game of hockey. Hockey is my favorite game. Okay.
Mine too.
I'm not going to hide that. And I think it's a very important issue. And the sides are very divided on this issue. It's people either love fighting or they hate it.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm kind of on the fence now. I used to love it.
Especially with concussions, it's becoming less of an accepted thing.
I used to love it because it's entertaining. After playing the game a little bit more and after experiencing some head injuries myself and talking to people with head injuries, and head injuries are not something to be laughed at. And I think that the time for fighting in our game may be passing by.
Yeah, definitely with the game becoming faster, more about the, you know, the skilled play and less about the physicality. I mean, it's becoming less physical in a way. I mean, players are faster, so, you know, hits are going to be hard, but hockey is changing.
It's becoming more physical, you mean? I mean, the game has gotten so much faster. There's so much more momentum now, mm-hmm. so the hits are going to be harder.
Well, there's less hits. Hitting is less of a part of the game.
No, it's more. I'm telling you, absolutely. If you go back and watch a game from the 80s or from the early 90s, they didn't hit as much because the game wasn't as fast. Just think about it. The more speed, the more collisions you're going to have.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of speed in the European game, but not as many hits.
Well, and part of that is because in some places in Europe, they play in bigger ice.
They play in Olympic-sized ice.
Finland, they play in the Finnish ice, which is halfway between the American ice and the Olympic ice, right? So that's part of it. There's more space. But it's the culture of the game as well. The North American game is more suited towards the physical game.
Yeah, it's especially more on the Canadians.
Well, anyways, we're going to hear from someone who can definitely give us some insight on this topic. Corey Bellamy. I'm going to call him one of the last American goons. Last North American goons. I don't know if he wants to be called that. We'll find out.
We'll see if he sees it as a term of endearment because I know the split.
Or at least tough guys. Enforcers. Corey Bellamy, he's currently playing for the Huntsville Havoc in one of my favorite minor leagues, the Southern Professional Hockey League.
You really like the Southern Professional
Hockey League? It's my second favorite league.
Really?
My favorite league of all time, he also played in, which was...
Is that league out of Quebec?
No. The Federal Hockey League.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Federal Hockey League, your old stomping grounds.
The good old... Well, I don't know about that, but the good old Federal League, yes.
You didn't spend some time with the Brooklyn Aviators?
I did, as a penalty box attendant.
Yeah, I said your old stomping ground.
And I heard some good stories. The one guy, he was in there, I think it was his third fight of the game already. All right?
What period was this?
The second period. Just bruised all over, just black, both eyes black, right? Just covered in bruises. Telling me that he drove the bus overnight from Dansville, Indiana, because their bus driver quit the night before because they weren't paying his paycheck. And their coach had quit the day before.
You got to love minor leagues.
It's great.
You got to love it. I mean, do you think the Federal Hockey League is similar to the MISL at all?
Oh, yes. The MASL, you mean. Seriously. It's just that, like, I mean, the level, like Elliot said on Friday at our podcast appearance, these guys care.
And oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The level of play is there.
World-class talent.
Yes. But it's just the other stuff that happens.
The things that just wouldn't be tolerated or really occur anywhere else. And that's kind of all minor league sports. That's why you got to love them, because it's more like real life. Things happen. I mean, in your real life, how often are you sidetracked by something? And it happens in minor league sports.
I find it interesting. So I was looking at some stats of hockey fights, right? Now, first of all, the AHL, there's about it looks like five times more fights in the NHL.
Oh,
the
yeah.
NHL, the most fights of any team this year, it would be 28 for the Penguins. Sabres are number two, okay? In the AHL, it's 70 for Binghamton.
Good old Binghamton Senators.
Syracuse, 62. Lehigh Valley, 60. And those are some of the teams you would expect.
They always have tough teams.
Binghamton always has a tough team. Mm-hmm. Syracuse always has a tough team. Lehigh Valley, that used to be the Adirondack Phantoms last year. That's the Flyers affiliate. So, yeah, of course, you're going to expect them to be tough.
Said Hamilton's another team you'd expect. Hamilton, they're coming at number eight. They usually have. Whenever you see Amherst games where there's fights, it's usually Hamilton or Syracuse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Binghamton.
I don't really see too many Binghamton games, but I've seen a lot of
Rochester
Hamilton.
Is 26th.
Well, 25,
which is 25. It's not really a part of the Amherst game this year.
But that's still more than most NHL teams, it's not part of our game.
It is, it's too. And speaking of the Amherst, they had a huge week. Theo, I know you're a big Amherst fan. They had a big week. 6 out of 8 possible points on the road. They beat Chicago in that day game on Tuesday. And then Friday, they went to Grand Rapids, took them to overtime, lost in overtime. Saturday... Mm. In Grand Rapids again, they beat them in overtime, and then Sunday they lost to Milwaukee in overtime. So 3 overtime games, and they won 2 of them.
Oh man, you know, I will say even though
they're 9 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, I was gonna say it seems like it's not down and out.
Right, 9 points out of a playoff spot. I think they're done. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're too inconsistent. Mm-hmm. The types of games that they're winning or competing in are these crazy 6-5, 8-7 games. Okay, they're not the mark of a good team is a team that can win that 4-2 game or that 3-1 game or that 2-0 game. They're not. They're coming. The only points they're getting, they're coming from behind, and it's never good to play from behind.
You know, it's never good to let in a lot of goals consistently. It shows, you know, laps defensively.
And yeah, 9 points is a lot to make up in 27 games.
It's not impossible, but like you said, it's a tall order.
Oh, I gave him the wrong number again.
Who's this, Bellamy?
Our guest. How many times have I done this? Twice now?
It's happened.
So, yeah, we should have Corey, the last of the hockey enforcers, calling in.
Now, part of the problem is he doesn't have a Facebook page.
He has a Twitter, though, which is how I found him.
He has a pretty good hockey fight.
All right, so, John, before we get Corey on the line, where are you on this fighting thing? If you had to say right now, should there still be fighting in professional hockey?
Well, the way I see it is fighting is one of those things that has more than entertainment value in hockey. It was a way that players see to sort of police the game on their own accord, which is unique to hockey, somewhat to lacrosse, to box lacrosse, but more so to hockey. I mean, NLL is kind of taking it out of the game. If you watch, like, you know, Ontario Lacrosse League or actual box lacrosse, you'll see more fighting in it, kind of like hockey. But I think that makes hockey unique that they have that aspect. However, the game is changing.
Yeah, go on.
The game is changing, and with, you know, changing times come changes. So I do think that we have a lot more science to back up these hits to the head. We didn't understand that before.
Right.
We really didn't know just how bad these head injuries could be. And now that we know that, I think it might be responsible to at least look at it. I wouldn't say take it out of the game completely, per se.
What do you mean by just look at it?
Well, we need to acknowledge it, and we need to study it. We need to study people. We need to study the fact that it's something that occurs. We need to, you know, take better care of the players. But to tell them they can't do something that they're willing to do, that they're paying a lot of money to do, per se.
That's a good point.
You know, we don't want to be, you know, it's not the mommy league.
That's a good point. So last year, a group of former NHL players filed a class action lawsuit against the NHL.
Yep, heard about that.
Now, this followed a class action lawsuit that was filed by NFL players against the NFL. Now, I think the NHL players said, hey, we also had these post-concussion symptoms. We had these head injuries. The league didn't do anything about it. They didn't care about us. And they said that they glorified violence in the NHL, and they still do. And they did it at the expense of the health of the players.
Yeah, but you gotta. Even though that's true, it is a contact sport. It is a rough game,
right?
And the players kind of do have to take accountability for getting into these fights and for playing this game. You know, it's a rough game. You gotta take accountability for playing it,
right? So now here's the thing that that you mentioned. Okay, the NHL can argue, and it says this in this article, that the players voluntarily.
Yeah, no one's forcing them to do that. It's technically a penalty. It's
right.
not
it is.
Legal
it's technically
to do.
Illegal. Yeah, it's technically
so
a 5-minute penalty.
They're not forcing them to do it. Anyone who gets into a fight who drops the gloves is a willing combatant. Now, if you're unwilling, if somebody roughs you, you know, hits you with a glove or starts fighting you, that's a penalty as well. So it's not like they're pushing fighting on players. So I think that this is kind of an interesting debate. Nobody wants to have, you know, these. I mean, we saw four, you know, former enforcers die within a few months,
yeah.
2 years ago.
And which was sad. And
it's very sad.
And
these
it shows you that
lives.
there's something wrong there.
Yeah. So, I mean, something does need to be done, but you know, it's kind of hard to say.
Is this Corey?
This is Corey.
Corey Bellamy.
Hey,
thank you.
Welcome
to
Corey.
Rochester Sports Mumblings. I apologize. I gave you the wrong number. It was one digit off. Small detail, but very important.
Little things.
Thank you for joining us. We are a sports show out of Rochester, New York. I know you're in Huntsville, Alabama right now, which is probably, you're probably
warmer.
Better off than being in Massachusetts, where you guys just got 3 feet of snow.
And all my parents are buried right now. It's crazy.
It's insane. I mean, we got, what, 14, 18 inches up here, John?
Still coming down,
still
too.
Still coming down, but yeah, I can't believe it. I saw the map, and it's like it's just all coming down in Massachusetts. Crazy
it's
stuff.
Unbelievable, man. I miss it a little bit, but it's good not to be driving around in that stuff down here.
Right. Well,
what's the temperature like down there in Huntsville?
Oh, God, in Alabama? Yeah, you're going to make us sick right now.
60 today.
Oh, my God. 60 degrees in February. Unbelievable. So you are from Massachusetts. You are, we're calling you before we got you on the phone here. I don't know. Maybe one of the last American enforcers. You're a dying breed, and we've been having this discussion about what is the role of fighting in hockey in 2015, because I think it's obvious to everyone that the role is changing, and who better to talk to than someone who obviously is right in it. You have 240 penalty minutes in 35 games this year, so I don't think there's a lot of argument about what your role is. And you're a big dude, 6'1", 185. How do you see your role? Do you call yourself an enforcer, or do people call you a goon? Do you call yourself a goon?
I mean, for me in my league, I mean, I'm probably one of the more respected fighters. I mean, anybody that asks me to fight, I'll fight them. I mean, but for mostly for me, I mean, yeah, I would call myself an enforcer, but I feel like I police the game a little bit more than anything. I'm not really, like if someone's doing something stupid or going around, you need to tell them that, they need to calm it down, or I'm going to fight them, or you got to just do it. So, I mean, there's a lot of that. And then, if the team's not playing too well and we need a spark, and then, there's the other option. So, fights can happen a couple different ways, but I mean, there's both meaning to them, and some guys lose the reality of that, and some guys just fight, And I'm more of the guy that wants to fight because of the reason to do it,
So that's an interesting point. I mean, it seems like the days of the staged fight, as they were called, at least in the upper levels in the NHL and the AHL, is kind of going away slowly but
right.
Surely. Especially in the NHL, it's pretty much gone.
Yeah, I mean, what you're seeing in the NHL nowadays is someone hitting their goalie and a scrum happens
right
in front, and then they drop them. Or, you got Zach Ronaldo fighting whoever from the, someone he's fought in the previous cast. I mean, the setup fights are happening, but I mean, right now, midway through the season of the playoffs, everyone's in the hunt for a playoff spot. So there's not a lot of fights happening. That mm-hmm. happens out of a scrum,
So as far as, you said, getting the crowd riled up, is that still something that does work as a tactic, getting the team riled
100%.
up? 100%. It does, okay.
I mean, especially in a league like this, I'm fortunate to play in Huntsville. It's probably the best place to play in the Southern Professional Hockey League. So,
okay.
I mean, on a Saturday, on any given Saturday night, we have 3,000 to 6,000 people in the stands, and you know, when we're down 2-1, we have a flat crowd. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm dropping the gloves, you know what I mean? And that's just the reality of it. I love it. I love getting the team going, and the crowd gets into it, and the building's electric. So, I mean, it's hard for me to even stay away from it, even if, you know, the consequences got worse. I mean, I'd still be doing the same thing, you know what I mean?
So that's a good question. They, of course, in the AHL and the NHL, they put in a new rule. I don't know if you guys have this yet in the Southern League, that you can't take your helmet off before a fight. Do they have that now?
Right.
They do.
It down here, but, I mean, I'd say I have 19 fight majors this year, or 18 fight majors, and I'd say 15 of them I've taken my helmet off before the fight.
So you just don't care? take the 7 minutes?
No, I mean, you just get an extra 2 minutes on right. top of your fight.
So how does that happen? Like, do you kind of look at your opponent and you guys both kind of are like, screw it, we're both going to sit for seven?
I'm a lighter heavyweight, but, I mean, every guy I fight in the league is a heavyweight. So, I mean, nobody wants to be punching helmets, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be easy to break your hand, right?
Factor.
It's got to be easy to break your hand on a helmet, right?
Right, right. I mean, I have broken my hand on a helmet. That's the thing.
How about punching visors? Like, that's got to be even worse.
Yeah, I mean, when I was down in the Federal League 3 years ago, I mean, that's the thing. Like, a lot of guys wouldn't take their helmets off, and it was just a struggle to get people's buckets off. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different in the Federal League here. I mean, there's not a lot of similarities in the hockey, and I mean, obviously in the Federal League, there's a lot more fighting and good
stuff.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of I'm fascinated by the Federal League because, you know, it's named after the movie, after Slapshot.
Yeah.
I was living down in Brooklyn a couple years ago, and I worked the penalty box for some games for the Aviators, and it was, you know, it was kind of an S show, you know, a lot of games, and but I was just fascinated by it because it was just this really low, kind of hilarious minor league in a lot of ways. You know, what was it like playing there?
I mean, it was definitely tough. I mean, don't get me wrong, it got me to where I am now in the Southern Pro League, and I'm grateful for it, but, it hasn't cleaned up at all. I mean, we've gotten called up here all year. We've got three or four guys come through Huntsville this year from the Federal League. We have a defenseman on our team, Frank Schumacher. He actually was a great pickup from Danbury.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, even hearing it from those guys, I mean, it's just getting 5 games in the league, and there's always a team folding, like that Steel City team.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're just keeping that team in the league right now just so the kids can keep their visas, because if there's 4 teams in the league, they can't have visas.
Wait, what? Hold on, what?
Yeah.
Explain this one to me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, if there's 4 teams in a professional hockey league,
okay,
you can't have N-Sports. Half the league from Canada, you know?
Oh, okay.
So if there was a team that folded right now in the Federal League, all the visas would be void.
Wow. Okay.
So like Danbury, Danville, Dayton, all those teams are paying for that Steel City team to stay alive.
Really?
And they're only paying like 8 or 9 of their guys $175 a week. All the other players are making like $25 a game.
Wow.
Like, some of the stories I've heard are pretty crazy, man. And it's like, you know, obviously kids aren't doing it for the money, but, I mean, it comes to a point where, like, come on, like.
Yeah. Is that league, are there any,
those
like.
Those games count towards professional games. You
it's
know
true,
I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Are there any.
Go ahead.
Are there any guys in that league that are, like, you know, let's say they've been playing men's league their whole life, you know, since they were 18, and they're like, hey, I'm going to give this a shot.
Is this your way of trying to get on the Federal Hockey
No,
league?
It's not, John. But I just, are there guys like that you saw that were in their 30s or like, hey, I want to play pro hockey?
There's a couple, man. There's a kid that was actually in camp in Huntsville this year.
Uh-huh.
Not playing hockey when he was 20.
Uh-huh.
And he's 27 now.
Wow.
And he's playing on that Steel City team.
Wow. All right, yeah, there you go.
It's possible.
I guess it is. I mean, hey, you know what? If I could play pro hockey for $25 a game, I would play.
And you'd be in your favorite
right.
league.
And, hey, and that's the reality of it. Guys yeah. want to make that sacrifice. I mean, hey, all the power to you. But, I mean, I'm not trying to play $25 a game with guys swinging their sticks that high. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of an S show there a lot. So, you know, as far as you...
I mean, that's what happens. I mean, they let that happen. I mean... They let that happen. I mean, I was playing in a league with the Akwesasne Warriors were in the league, a team on a reservation in Canada.
Were they all actually, like, Indians?
Like, there was a couple Indian guys. Like, you know, there was a kid running around the ice named Kiakwate Swamp. And
what? It's like, who's the guy in Slapshot that he comes out of the ice? He's just like, how?
Yeah.
Who to Lucie? No, I don't know. I forget his name.
Yeah. It sounds like that, though. That's
yeah,
wild.
It's not far off. Like, there was times where I got into a fight there, and a guy jumped off the bench, and I had to turn around. I had my shoulder pads ripped off my body by guys. Man, it's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. And, I mean, you know, looking at your stats here, I mean, you played 33 games for Elmira in 2013-14 in the ECHL. So, you know. You got pretty up there. I mean, it sounds like you still got some time left.
That was great last year. I mean, having that exposure was great. I lived with my brother, played with him. That was great.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
When I got called up to Elmira, my brother was there all 3 years. I played in Elmira for Stints all 3 years, the last 3 years. So,
Going
up there last year, I got to live with him. You know, I played on his line for a bit. It was a great experience, and you know what the heck is going to be playing professional hockey with your siblings?
Oh my God, yeah!
Can't get any better than that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
I could hang him up right now and be satisfied. You know,
that's amazing. All right, so Corey, let's talk about this fighting thing. If there was no fighting in hockey, how would the game be different? If let's say across all professional leagues next season, in September they said we're done. It's now five in a game for fighting.
I mean, you would see guys taking liberties. I mean, to be completely honest, that's the first thing that comes to my head.
That's the argument.
Guys wouldn't be afraid putting open ice hits on guys. You know, and that's the reality of it. Guys would take liberties on guys. There's guys 100%. If there was a guy cutting through the middle nowadays and they were still fighting, guys wouldn't make that hit.
Mm.
If fighting was taken out of the game, they would.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, if you took fighting out of the game, liberties would be taken on guys. You know what I mean?
And that's the number one argument that you read about.
I mean, we would have guys taking runs at guys. Yeah, go take 2 minutes on. Go take a boarding on him. You're not going to get these shit kicked out of you. You know.
Mm-hmm. And now.
Sorry about this.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. And as the other side of the argument, of course, is the safety issue and the fact that concussions and head injuries in general are becoming more of an issue in the game of hockey and in all sports in general. And there's a lot of research that shows that taking, you know, punches to the jaw, I mean, it doesn't take a scientist to figure out that it's not good for you, probably.
You gotta be good at what you do. I probably
hit
the jaw once this year.
Oh, nice.
That's an interesting point.
You gotta be good at what you do.
So obviously, you know, as far as during your fighting, you're trying to avoid taking that big punch. I'm guessing, right?
I mean, my fighting style, I like throwing punches, but I like not to get hit in the face too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm pretty good on my skates as well. I mean, I fall down sometimes, but I mean, I've broken my nose 3 times this year, so
wow.
I haven't been hit in the jaw, but I've broken my nose.
Sure.
So I mean, not to say I haven't been hit. I mean, I've gotten stitches a couple of times this year, but. You know, you just gotta keep your chin sucked in, and you know, just do your thing, man. Like, a lot of guys just think too much. I'm just trying to grab and throw, you know.
Sure. So, it sounds like I don't want to go out on a limb, but do you enjoy it sometimes?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely one of the things in the, I mean, you can't even explain it. It has its ups and downs, don't get me wrong. I mean, especially this year, it's been a long year. It takes a special somebody to drop the gloves. I mean,
yeah.
it really does. I mean, especially this year, I mean, I've been looked upon this year more than any time of the year to do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not a lot of guys are willing to do it. So, but let me tell you something right now. When I drop the glove, and there's 4,000 or 5,000 people standing up going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unbelievable feeling. I couldn't even explain.
It's a rush, right?
It is the biggest adrenaline rush. I mean, ever since the first time I did it, I mean, I would be in a firing junior band. Like, I got called to the Federal League. Some coach was like, I need a tough guy. And, you know, I beat the hell out of two kids in a tryout. And it was history from there, you know?
And it seems like that's the thing that, if it is going to stay in the game, is what's keeping it in, is the fans. The fans love it.
If it got taken out, man, I could not see many fans being happy.
Yeah.
Well, what's better in a fight? To fight in front of a home crowd and beat someone, or to fight in front of a away crowd and just, you know, take down their tough guy?
Good question.
I mean, any day of the week, I'm trying to fight for my home and get our crowd fired up.
All right.
You know, it's great to beat someone up in front of their crowd, but they're still getting a standing ovation even if they get their ass kicked.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you one of the guys, like, I remember, you know, living in an AHL city, the guys that used to come through the AHL, a lot of them after the fight, they'd have to do their little wave or some sort of like hand signal to the crowd, or
the,
you know what I mean? Are you one of those guys?
I mean, there's a time and a place. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a time and a place. You know, I like to do that stuff before the fight to get the guy, you know, because sometimes it takes a whole bunch of crowd into it, you know?
Right, right.
When I drop my gloves, I'll throw a couple hands in the air and get them going, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I have, depending on my fight, if it went well or not, yeah, I'll celebrate the fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's the toughest guy you fought?
Sure. I mean,
that's a great
such
question.
Such a rush that sometimes you can't even control yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who's the toughest guy you fought?
Hands down. I mean, I fought him 7 times this year. Tyler Sheldrake, definitely the toughest guy I fought this year.
What's his name? Tyler? Look him up, John. Tyler what?
Tyler Sheldrake.
Sheldon, okay.
Oh, Sheldrake?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to look him up.
Okay, I thought I saw that name.
Yeah, we fought 7 times this year. We probably fought about 12 times in the last 3 years.
Sounds like
a
little rivalry.
Real tough, real respectable guy, you know. Him and Barr, Tyler Barr is a pretty tough guy, but I mean, Tyler's a little bit more out of control. Shelly's a little bit more in control.
I see Tyler Sheldrick just got a 2-game suspension.
What did he get suspended for?
I'm actually on suspension myself.
Yeah, I saw that too.
What did you get suspended for, Corey?
It's a little complicated right now, but I mean, I got my fifth misconduct. I got 2 tens in the last game.
Ah, okay.
I got it for inciting an opponent.
Mm. Yep, the old 10 for inciting.
Yeah, I saw that on your Hockey Fights profile that you're currently under suspension.
Well, perfect time to be on our show then, right, Corey? Hey, Corey, this was really fascinating. You're a really awesome dude to talk to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this was great.
Good luck, man, with Huntsville the rest of the year, and we hope to see you in the AHL someday along the line, maybe passing through Rochester.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys, and thanks for your time, and I appreciate it. Thanks for the talk.
Absolutely. Stay warm down there in Huntsville.
Yeah, stay warm.
You guys too, eh?
All right. Good night. Thanks, Corey. Oh, that was great.
Interesting.
That was very interesting.
Yeah, and he's one of the guys, you know, some guys legitimately love it, and he definitely legitimately loves what he does.
Yeah, he really likes fighting.
Oh.
Like, you can
you
tell.
You can just tell.
He really likes fighting, which is in stark contrast to when we heard from Andrew Peters.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He said he hates
that it. He said that it was the scariest moment ever. Every time he had to drop the gloves, he hated it.
But there's a difference between the guys that Bellamy is fighting and the guys that Peters is fighting.
Well, they're both tough.
They are both tough
hockey players.
They're tough, obviously.
Yeah, the difference in the NHL and the Southern League. Yeah, maybe there could be a difference. But either way, you're taking and throwing punches.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not putting him down anyway. But you know,
Theo, you're a boxer. What does it feel like to take a punch? Do you ever get scared?
You want
to
find out?
Stop. Do you ever get scared about taking punches?
Yeah. So the first, you know,
you got to talk a little closer.
Before a fight, you know, you get all nervous, and then once the fight starts, you're ready to go, because when I boxed, there was 3-round fights, you know, so before the fight, you get all nervous, and once the first few punches were thrown, you're ready to go, and between the first and second and second and third round, the nerves were gone. You were just,
right,
and especially once you get hit, you know, you have a lot more motivation to throw a punch back.
But it doesn't, like, actually getting hit. I mean, we've all gotten hit, but does it worry you about just getting hit over and over again like that, you know, about what it could do to you?
No, I mean, if your job, especially, you know, boxing or the National Hockey League, if your job as an enforcer is to fight, then, you know, there's definitely the nerves before you throw it on, but once it starts going, you just, you know, try to make the best of it.
Yeah,
nice.
I mean, it really, Corey, it sounds like he loves to fight.
Oh,
you know?
There's no qualms about
really,
it.
And that's one of the things that really, it does play into the debate. Like, in this lawsuit, you know, the NHL is saying, okay, you guys fought on your own. We didn't tell you that you have to fight.
Which is true. It's true.
And they probably enjoyed it.
Well, one thing I look at, though, is I watched the special on Derek Bougard.
Yeah.
That they had, and they interviewed Todd Fedoruk. Yep. And basically, he loved fighting up until he fought Bougard, broke his face.
Oh, my God.
And then after that, he stopped liking it. And I think it's one of those things where you're going to like something.
Fedoruk
was older too. I mean, he was like, he was close to 40 by the time. Right. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you'll like something until it becomes negative, and it's pretty negative getting your face broken.
Right. And that's the thing, is over time. Like, yeah. I mean, if you're taking punches, the Blackhawks fighter. The name will come to me, but he died at age 45.
Oh, Wade Bielak?
No. Famous Blackhawks fighter. If anyone knows it, say it on the chat or on Facebook. But very famous Blackhawks fighter died at age 45. And, you know,
from what?
They said that the head trauma,
because I know,
had something to do with it.
Bielak committed suicide.
Bielak committed suicide. Bougard
overdosed, and they contribute to that. Also, I can't think of the name. Probably the same one you're trying to think of. But that was sad. I mean, that was all in one. That was all
right.
In
and that's the
months.
Thing is, you know, you wonder, like, oh, these kids love it when they're in their 20s, but then when you're in your 40s,
it catches up. And I think
it. Bob Probert. One of the most famous fighters. Well, he died
Probert,
at 45.
But Bob Probert, what I believe, didn't he die
very
of
sad.
A heart attack though?
I don't think
he died from the fight. I think he had a heart attack.
Yeah, you're right. He did.
So it had nothing to do with that. But still.
No, I thought I read something that, they found, okay, researchers from Boston University, I guess they studied his
after
body,
his departure,
right?
Yeah.
And they found evidence of chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Whatever that word.
In Probert's brain, which is trauma.
And
severe head trauma over and over again.
And the thing is, who knows? They said, because, you know, this was, he said, I believe he died of a heart condition.
Right.
And, you know, I guess it's one of those things where he had a history of drug use as well as a criminal history. Mm. And maybe that had something to do, even in his later life, he still was getting arrested.
Yeah.
Maybe that had something to do with it.
It seems like a lot of those guys have troubles off the ice.
Well, I mean,
not all
people,
of them. Like this guy, this kid we talked to sounds like a great
kid. But you
got to
think about it.
Great
think
kid,
of
right?
the nature. Yeah, oh, yeah,
like,
he sounds awesome.
You hear stories
people
like when
fighting.
I was a kid, Sasha Lokovic.
Yes,
the guy was a nut job. You
Ramon
know?
Ender.
Yeah, these guys getting bar fights and stuff. It is like the movie
Rob
Slap
Ray.
Fest.
I mean,
Rob
he,
Ray.
He lived the
well,
life.
I mean,
he was in trouble.
But now he's, you know, he's he's an announcer. He seems like a pretty clean-cut guy.
Well,
you know,
wasn't it a few years ago that he got arrested again?
Rob Ray?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Barnaby got arrested. That was for DWI. But, I mean, yeah, he was a fighter. Barnaby was a good fighter.
He fought more with his words. He fought, but he fought a lot with his words.
Oh, my God. We have to – we got to call Dominic real quick.
We do, and the Warrior.
Oh, should we talk to the Warrior? The Warrior's going on the air in about 13 minutes on Soccer's A Kick in the Grass.
Well, so, let's call Dominic.
All right. Should we call Dominic?
We need to hear this.
In the meantime, why don't you tell us – we got to get some of these sponsor reads in.
Well, okay, you know –
why don't you tell us about Leroy Discount Liquor?
All right. Leroy Discount Liquor, it's a cold day. I know last week I said the same thing, but I got to say it again. The weather is pretty atrocious. It's snowing. It's cold. Maybe you might want to warm up and have a nice glass of wine, some nice spirits. If you can get out there safely – which is saying a lot.
Is it snowing pretty bad, Leroy?
Oh, I'd imagine it on the map. It looked like there.
It is always snowing more in Leroy. I don't know why.
If you can get out there safely, visit our friend Johnny, Leroy Tops Plaza, and $5.99. I mean, I say it every week, but I'll say it again. $5.99. It doesn't get much better than that.
$5.99 wines.
$5.99 wines.
Leroy Discount Liquor.
Leroy Discount Liquor.
And there's a Chinese place right down the street.
Same thing with Pizza Land, right across the street.
Is there a Pizza Land?
Right across the street, Pizza Land.
So you can make a day out of it. Go out to the Tops, do some shopping, go next door to Leroy Discount Liquor, all right, pick up some brews, and then go get some Chinese food.
You know, go to Pizza Land. Good Pizza Land.
Well, if you're already getting Chinese food, John, then
Chinese food earlier.
I don't know why you would also need to go to Pizza Land. Just seems like a little bit of overkill.
Well, either way, make a day out of it and go to Leroy Discount Liquor.
All right. We're going to try to get Dominic Cicluna, our good friend from Vegas, on the phone.
From Detroit.
Talk a little soccer. Dominic, are you there?
Yeah.
All right,
hello,
Dominic.
I'm here and alive and ready.
Good. All right, Dominic. I did not think we would talk to you again this year, but then you had to get all over the indoor soccer news again by dropping the bombshell of trading yourself out west to the Las Vegas, the famous, the legendary Las Vegas Legends. What are you thinking?
Well, it wasn't me trading myself. It was me agreeing to somebody asking me to come to Vegas, which is the owner, Mayor Cohen, who knows what my brother and I represent. He knows what I bring on the field and off the field, and he has a long-term vision to improve soccer as a whole, and I decided to give it a shot.
And then your first game with the Legends, you guys knock off the Baltimore Blast. Incredible. I mean, I did not think that they would lose at all this year, and you knock off the Baltimore Blast 5-4 in overtime. Tell us about that game.
Well, it was quite electric. The people that were at the game were hugely inspired by what was taking place, but we had a game plan. We, you know, they brought in Keeks Tovar, and myself at the last minute trade deadline. And when we got there, the coaches that were here, myself and Mayor Cohen, we decided what our plan of attack was going to be. I decided not to play that game because the guys had been training hard and working hard to prepare. And I'm a player before I'm a coach or an owner. And I know what it can be like when the new guy shows up and hasn't been here for a while. So I wanted to maintain an equilibrium and balance and a unity with team, and then just guide them from a coaching standpoint. So we made some adjustments, and we knew how we had to approach Baltimore because the Baltimore obviously organization and team are extremely organized and
right.
One of the highest level teams in indoor soccer. And
right.
So we had to really, you know, do some things that I'm not going to fully reveal
Dominic, listen, you know, the Lancers love you. The Lancer fans love you. You've become somewhat of a mini celebrity here. You got to help us out, man.
Yeah,
we got to beat Baltimore.
You can give a little bit of advice.
Just give us a little bit.
Yeah. you know what? I think your fans and you guys might love me more than maybe Dougie Miller.
Oh.
And what I'm going to say about Dougie Miller is if you were to call him, he's not going to think he needs my help at all.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And rightfully so, because Dougie has been in this game as long as myself.
Oh.
And I think he's 2 years older than me, so I technically would have to call him my big brother. And it's rare
that
big
true.
Brothers reach out to the younger brothers to ask for help.
That's a good point. Good
so
point.
I'm going to say that you guys have, you know, in your own eyes, you guys have everything that you need to pull it off. And if Dougie needs my help, he knows how to reach me.
All right.
Okay.
Mayor Cohen got to me before Dougie Miller did. That's all I can say.
I think that it's a good omen, though. I think it's a good omen for Rochester and for the entire East.
Maybe.
The Baltimore went out west and lost twice. I think it's great. I think that it shows that they are beatable.
But
they are
beatable.
And not only that,
you guys, listen, the one thing is I guarantee they were tired for their, for their
travel.
Saturday's game. They were definitely tired because both teams really put it out there, and they were going full speed, full tilt, and I guarantee their legs were a little bit sore. So, and I'm not taking away from what San Diego did, because we all know that San Diego are, no pun intended, are a bunch of legends themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, it was very refreshing for myself to come in, because whenever you're the new guy in town, people actually listen with a little bit more clarity, and people were a little more hungry for the words that were coming out of my mouth. And Mayor Cohen knew that I had what it takes to just bring a little extra spice and flavor, as well as a marketing and an entertainment aspect to Las Vegas Legends.
And I was going to ask you that. Did you do your halftime show?
After the game was finished and we accomplished our goal, I mean, Mayor asked me to do something at halftime, but there was already a show out there, and it was a special needs group, I believe, that was out there, and they were a wonderful group of people. We made this kid Chris captain for the day, and this other boy like sung the national anthem, did a great job. I apologize that I don't know the exact name of the group, but they were wonderful people, and it was an amazing event. So even just from that standpoint alone, it was a complete success. And then we just happened to capitalize. The guys played amazing. Everyone did a great job. Getting amazing results has to do with getting the best out of each individual, because everyone has their strengths and everyone has their weaknesses. Well, my performance, I told Mayor that it would make more sense that if we accomplish our goal, I do something at the end of the game. And at the end of the game, I did it.
Now, Dominic, we got some intel from, not going to say who, but your arch nemesis, the Mohican Warrior, Elliot Fowski, may be doing some kind of show himself. We can't reveal what it is during an upcoming halftime. So, would encourage you to look out for that, because I think you may have some competition as far as the halftime shows go.
Well, that sounds wonderful, because anything he can do to outdo me is, I'm glad I could inspire someone to even do something like this.
All right.
Does that motivate you to outdo him back?
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see Elliot's show first, John.
When I'm only in competition with myself, we'll just let you guys all be the judges.
And okay. And the other thing, I think Elliot was a little, he did call you out a little bit, saying how could you abandon the snowy city of Detroit, Michigan, for the sun and palm trees and beautiful women of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, how could you do that?
Well, let's just say this. When some people say I've abandoned ship, I have to remind them that if you're a visionary and you have an ability to see the forest through the trees, then I just was at work this whole time and expanded my ship. I had a guy that saw what I was up to, what I've been doing. He didn't overlook it. He wasn't short-sighted. He's a visionary, as is Mayor Cohen, and he believed and likes the product that Waza puts out, regardless of our challenges that we have in the economically booming city of Detroit, the Sunshine City. And
is it? Do you guys get a lot of sun in Detroit?
Yeah, it's probably up to my just past my
just below my knees, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dominic. Dominic, we love you. Hey, you know, one more thing. Do you ever go to a Detroit City FC game? I heard that's an unbelievable atmosphere.
Yeah, I have some of my former players that have came through our programs playing for DCFC.
It's an unbelievable atmosphere. Seeing the pictures there last year, how they had just thousands of supporters there for NPSL. I think it's amazing.
Yep.
I think Detroit should get an MLS.
The reason why they have so many supporters is because of this group called the Northern Guard Supporters.
Right.
And the Motor City Soccer Supporters. These are two groups that kind of bring the momentum of fans and people that you know, that live in the city and some of the suburbans, you know, suburbanites that have caught on to the buzz. And, you know, they're a top-notch organization. And yet, you know, you would hope that these people that appreciate this type of an outdoor event would want to do something and enjoy soccer through the winter. So it hasn't quite translated into them coming to support our
games.
We do have a close relationship with the guys that are in charge of those groups, and we're actually all friends. And it's just they have really busy lives. And last year they came out. We supported their hooligans, the Wounded Warrior Project with them. And basically, we're hoping to continue to develop our relationship with them.
I'm sure it'll come.
What's that?
No, I'm sure it'll come. I mean, I think it's only natural to have the two teams work together. Dominic, we got to let you go. We have another guest coming on.
Sure.
Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you for clearing the air with that.
We love having you on every time. Good luck this weekend with the Legends.
Actually, I love being on a show with a bunch of characters that love soccer. And may you guys continue to spread the awareness, and may more people follow your show. Send me the link. You know,
we'll
obviously I'm on the social media at Dominic Waza, but now I have to put in their hashtag Waza Legend.
I like it. I like the Waza Legend.
The Waza Legend.
All right, that is the legendary Dominic Sicluna.
Thank you
for joining us. Ryan Schofield from the Scozone. Do we have you on the line?
How's it going, guys?
All right. Hey.
Was my line active that entire time?
Yeah, it was. Our technology.
Wow, I wasn't like talking out loud.
I know. I was hoping you weren't going to. The technology is not that there yet, where I can actually put you on hold where you can't talk. But yes,
Oh no, what's the Vegas thing got going too? I was especially thinking to myself. But before we go, like, you know, is there any like standards of like decency I have to adhere to?
Yes. Be decent.
Let's
abide by the FCC guidelines.
Yeah, try and keep the bombs down.
Okay, yeah, that's all I need to know. I call on the local radio shows a lot.
Okay,
so I'll be able to. I'll get in that gear of mine.
So, John, Theo, this is Ryan Schofield from the Scozone. It is another sports podcast that is on our network. We are now officially on rockpodcast.com.
Yay.
That's an announcement for today.
Podcast, neither here nor there, whatever.
Is that a thing? Is that a thing that I should know about? It's ROC instead of rock?
I mean, well, like, we have like a little like preview sound file before the things that we say it is ROC, but again, whatever you want to say it as,
okay.
As long as people can know,
yeah,
not tell it.
Phonetically, yeah, it's rock. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But you are the other sports show on our network. I saw your segment at the Rock Podfest at the Record Archive, and I was very impressed. I can tell that you really know how to talk. I mean, just to be able to do a show by yourself, I think it requires talent.
Energy, too.
That not
energy.
A lot of people really have in our business, if you want to call it that. But you have it. You can talk.
Yes. I'm actually not from Rochester originally. I'm from actually outside of Albany in Shore, New York.
Okay.
And you kind of develop a way that if you want to be heard, you have to, you know, speak fast and loud. So
yes.
That way, you know, that way you can get your whole point across.
Right.
Before someone else interrupts you.
That's the New York City kind of style.
And I'm one of those guys that listens to a lot of radio. That, like, I kind of like yell out loud in my car when I'm listening to, you know, somebody making, you know, an accent.
Oh, I do the same thing. I do the same exact thing when I'm listening to like John DeTullio or Bob Matthews or, I mean,
and
I love both of them. But some of the people that call in are just, rough.
It bothers me, like, actually when hosts or the people that call in actually just mess up like simple things where,
yeah.
Like,
oh my god.
If they really want to wait on hold for 25 minutes just to tell that person they were wrong, like, you know, like, do I have that nothing else going on? Like, you know,
well,
sometimes I don't, so I do.
That's where the whole now texting thing comes in, you know, where you could just send, you know, send them a text And they'll read it. They probably won't read it on the air, but they will read it. But I do find it funny. Bob Matthews is constantly complaining about mean people that text him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's been having mean people that call him for many years, but now he's having mean people text him, and he gets all hot and bothered by it, which is entertaining.
It's funny.
I could argue that Bob Matthews was very, very mean to me in person one time.
Oh, really?
What happened there?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, so much. I was told he doesn't really like people very much.
Yeah, we've heard that as well.
But what ended up happening is that, like, I mean, like, I had like a few times where, like, I would be on hold and he would think that I was going to agree with him, and he would kind of like have a bunch of people disagreeing with him, and like, and then you'd be like, oh, Ryan, you know what you're talking about. What do you think? Like, I remember this distinctly, actually. I told him that the Mavericks were going to beat the Heat in 6 games.
Uh-huh.
And I really outlined a great reason why. And as you know, you may have noticed with my little performance there on the RSP podcast, I'm a bit of a gambler.
Yes, yes. You do talk about sports betting a little bit, yeah.
I happen to do, you know, it's one of those great things where, you know, like, everybody takes away different things from college or like that. But when you spend 7 years in college like that, luckily I made a bunch of mistakes before I was, you know, able actually to have a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of getting the phase where it's like, huh, I kind of like, you know how to stay within my means a little bit and do some things here. But that was one of the things I really liked. I really liked the Mavericks on that. I remember telling him that. And what ended up happening is that his producer bet me, you know, kind of on the side. He's like, oh, if the Mavericks clear, I'll let you come to the studio. So I did the one time, and I was going to try and see if you wanted to have me on air. And have you ever seen the movie Howard Stern, Private Parts?
Yes.
It basically was very similar to when he met Don Imus, that kind of scene. where he just kind of was just like, I don't want to argue with you today, Ryan. I'm not having it. And I was like, oh, come on, man. And he just kind of, you know, just had that tone to him. But, you know, other than that,
My experience meeting Bob Matthews, met him at that Abby Wambach's Brothers Bar. Theo, do you remember? I forget the name.
The Back Nine.
Yeah, the Back Nine. Yeah, so he was there. I think he was watching like the ALCS or something, right? And I'm like, hey, Bob Matthews. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, hey, I really love your show. He's like, oh, you should call in sometime. I'm like, oh, all right, maybe I will. And then I don't know. I was trying to talk. You know,
doesn't sound like
I ended up actually having a conversation with him about the ALCS. And he was, you know, he was fine. But he's not like, it doesn't seem like he's the most outgoing person in the world, you know, to fans.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you know,
I don't
he
think
never
he's mean or anything, you know.
He never, I've heard, I think when he was younger, he might have been a little more. Maybe he's warmed up a little bit. But I think that's kind of the word I got from somebody. But, he's old school. He still likes his baseball. He plays horse racing.
Right,
spends a lot of time at Finger Lakes, you know.
So, Ryan, give us a little glimpse into the SCO Zone. When can we find you? What's your show about? What are you talking about?
I'm currently on a little bit of a hiatus right now, where I was kind of recording at someone else's studio. I'm a real the talking is what I like to do, and I'm just too lazy to actually sit there. Like, when I have the appointment of going somewhere, I could do that. When I have to, like, do things at my leisure time, I always find things I'd rather do more. So I have to actually, like, you know, invest in the equipment to start recording again. But I'm on the ROCpodcast.com, the SCO Zone. I'm also on iTunes. I recommend going back and listening to certain episodes. There's, you know, I'm not going to get into the nature, but to get a little more, you know, on the bluer side, a little more, you know, R-rated, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Because I get to do the life of kind of, you know, not just necessarily the life of, just sports in general, but the life of the gambler.
I kind of noticed that from your set on.
So it's kind of a sports betting focused podcast.
It's kind of a sports, yeah, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, I also, and just topically, yeah, but I mean, I obviously I analyze things best through my betting, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very, very big on a baseball.
Really?
Kind of, you know.
That's kind of unique as far. It seems like everyone. Yeah, I'm not a gambler, but it seems like people who do.
What would the best
gamble
sport to gamble be, would you say? What's the best gambling sport?
The best sport, too, I would say is. For I would say football is probably the easiest for me, it comes down to. But baseball is the most. Is probably the best opportunity, or that's what I'm do.
Hmm.
That's what I would assume.
Why? Baseball seems like it'd be the
that's
worst.
That's like the classic.
But I guess it's because of the pitcher, right?
That they're so many baseball because you have so many games.
Yeah.
So and you have so much, and they're every day.
Plus,
so
I mean,
really, the thing with baseball is you can kind of spot trends, like little things here and there, because there's different pitchers all the time. Like,
yeah.
For instance, are you guys baseball fans at all?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, man.
Okay. If I told you about Jorge De La Rosa at Coors Field, would anything jump out to you?
Absolutely nothing. I don't even know.
I don't even know Jorge.
I'm not that deep into it.
Jorge De La Rosa's numbers at Coors Field. And
okay.
What you're going to see is one of the best pitchers at his home field.
Okay.
And that's why the Rockies just signed him to a very nice little deal last year. Now, it doesn't make much noise because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, you know, he's not that great. But there are certain things like that. There was also, like, you know, the Astros. If you notice, like, you know, with them, like, they were very, very great against hitting left-handed pitching, you know. So you start noticing these little trends, and you kind of start playing them. And then also just on given matchups, you kind of will do. And I've also heard college basketball, just because there's so many games, and they happen so fast that, like, you know,
there's a science behind college basketball.
I think college basketball should be, I would think it'd be easier than the NBA to bet on because more often the favorite's going to win in college, I think, right?
But the thing, I wouldn't say that. It's just that I think with college basketball, there's more of an intensity. I mean, NBA games, I mean, like, you even have cases where, you know, like, you know, the Spurs won the title. You have games where their coach just throws in the white flag, you know, and just says, we don't care about this one. I'd rather lose this game intentionally to put myself in a better position with the next two, you know, like.
Like the Knicks this year, they're just trying to lose every game.
The Vegas books couldn't adjust for a long enough period of time because at one point in time, betting against the Knicks was like a 70% winner.
Yeah, I would definitely bet against. In the NHL this year, it's kind of like the Sabres as well. It seems like if you bet against the Sabres, it's a great bet every time. You're going to win 9 out of 10 times.
No, but you know what though? They worked a way around that. Like, I think he's still for the season. You probably have, but because the way the Sabres were perceived going into the season, it was perceived that they don't care. Where you literally were having to risk like $400 to win $100.
Right. And it still is like that, yeah.
And here's the crazy thing about the Sabres is that 2 years in a row they've won against San Jose as like.
Yeah,
they'll
pull off these strange wins. Like they lost 14 in a row, and then the other night they beat Montreal just out of the blue. Ryan, we're running out of time here. You might find this interesting while you're on the line. We are focused on minor league sports.
Yes.
I found this story. Julio Franco.
I went to like 50-something now.
Yeah, he's 56. He just signed a contract with a minor league team in Japan at age 56 as a player manager. This was after last year he played for the Fort Worth Cats in some independent league that I've never heard of and hit 222 in 7 games. So he's not ready to give it up yet. So
no, I mean, like, if you're not married, you know, like, you look
is
you know,
well.
Years,
I don't, he's got to be married at 56
at least once.
Yeah, probably four. He's probably on his fourth right now.
Maybe that's the whole reason to start playing baseball in the summertime. Just get a little away time.
You know what he is? He's like he's like Mr. Baseball.
There's also a female
the guy.
On the
you
team.
Ever
Did you see that?
Remember that movie, Mr. Baseball? The guy goes over to Japan.
Tom,
yeah.
The crazy thing about, from what I understand about Julio Franco, is that in his younger days, he was a hard partier, and people were worried he wouldn't live till 56.
Oh, my God.
Playing baseball.
Well, good. God bless him.
Did you notice
that's
the
fantastic.
Part where they have a female pitcher as well?
Yes. Oh, this team. What's the name of this team? The Million Stars. They play in the 6-team Baseball Challenge League in Japan. They've won 3 championships since the league formed in 2007. Other players on the Million Stars roster are Shinji Mori, a longtime player, who signed with the Rays, never played him. And then a girl named Iri Yoshida, a female knuckleballer. That's fascinating.
You know, I bet you. Here's the thing: is that not only do I want to watch that, I want to find out if I can bet on it. I'm going to Vegas in a few weeks, and that'll just blow anybody's story. Like,
that's the moment when you realize you're in too deep.
I get this female knuckleballer. No one's ever seen.
Yeah, I got it. She can't lose. She can't lose. I'm telling you.
Pick a winner.
And the best thing is that the game is in Japan, so
right.
You got to get it like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right,
like, you know,
you're just up all night. Just
do you
wait,
bet on
just,
horse
just
racing?
Nine
as well?
Cups of coffee, just waiting.
Do you bet on horses
do
as well?
Horse racing as well?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I was actually at the Belmont Stakes this year.
That seems like a better's game right
now.
There.
That's not the one where you wear the funny hat, right?
It's the Kentucky Derby, isn't
it? No, the girls wear the funny hat.
Oh, the guy, you can't wear a hat as a guy?
No, you can. I mean, you can do whatever you want. Hat. I mean, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, the put it this way, it's a good way to spot people that I know I'm not going to have a good conversation with.
Okay. Not even sure what that means, but all right. We'll roll with it. Ryan, thank you for joining us. Check out Ryan's show on ROCpodcast.com, the SCO Zone. Do you have a Twitter, Facebook, promote, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, Twitter, I'm SCO525, SCHO525. Facebook, I just go by my personal name, Ryan Schofield. I'm an open book, so I don't mind warts and all, showing it all to the world.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ryan.
Guys,
we'll,
thank
you.
All right, we'll see you soon. All right. That was Ryan Schofield. Check out his show, The Skull Zone. There's some
interesting character.
Yeah, there's some great shows. We are now officially on ROCpodcast.com. So that is our fourth platform now. We are awesome. On, of course, RockSportsNetwork.com is our home platform. Check out all the other great shows that they have on there, including The Big Schmoz. I think a new episode is out, which is good. I'll have to watch that. Orange Crush has a Syracuse Orange show. And, of course, Late Night Sports Radio got a couple of great shows on there as well, including 87 Sports Fans. And we are also on InLacrosseWeTrust.com. We are their lacrosse show, which means we should talk a little bit of lacrosse before we go. I know we're over time.
We had a pretty interesting game with the Swarm here, a loss.
Not here. It was in
Well, it
Minnesota.
Wasn't here, but it occurred.
The Nighthawks lost 7-6 in overtime in Minnesota after being down 5-1. They wrapped off five straight goals in the third quarter to take a 6-5 lead. Minnesota scores the lone goal in the fourth quarter, ties it up at 8:56. Andrew Suter, and then in the overtime period, Calum Crawford scores the game winner at 2:21 of the overtime period. The Nighthawks offense anemic after reeling off 17 goals against Buffalo the week before at home. Getting just 40 shots on goal and just six goals. The offense is erratic.
Seem very
the team, 2-3 in last place in the East Division. John,
it's time to
our resident lacrosse expert, what's going on?
It seems like this team just cannot get the cohesion they need. Like I said, there's sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But then even when they work, like the Buffalo game, I mean, you know, they get leads,
but even
they
that
lose
yeah, exactly. They were erratic that yeah. Buffalo game. They were up 10-3,
and then
Buffalo scores eight straight goals to take the lead, and then the Nighthawks score seven straight.
Yeah, it's just very. It seems like they're not getting the cohesion they need, and it's kind of hard to understand why this team is having this kind of start. I think we should talk to somebody about it.
Well, we will. I'll get someone on next week.
All right. Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to know because they're definitely not playing up to the
I mean the good news is it's only five games in. They've got 13 games to go. They're not out of the playoff
race
or anything like
that. But
it's not anything where it's time to hit the panic button.
And it's not anything really unusual either.
But it's they're just inconsistent. They're very inconsistent.
The Nighthawks are kind of typically like this too. They start slow. They've been a slow starting team.
We have a message from Soccer Sam.
The Lancers are home Saturday, February 14th at the BCA, 1 p.m. It's Valentine's Day family matinee. Free kisses from Lancer players, dancers, and Lancer Louie. Call 872-KICK or OurLancers.com. Feel the kick, baby.
Also, our good friends over at the Rochester Razor Sharks who have done so much to promote our show. We have an ad on their scoreboard at games, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
They are home again on President's Day, February 16th. That is a Monday afternoon. They are playing the Lynchburg Titans. Tip-off at 1 p.m. Tickets are just $5. What a deal.
Can't
and it is Kids Day. They're going to have a bounce house up in the atrium and a whole bunch of other activities for kids. So if you are a parent, bring your kid out. Enjoy the best professional basketball.
You know it's going to be a good quality game.
Absolutely.
They always put on a good show.
And they are 10-0 now. They swept their road trip down to South Carolina, Virginia,
amazing,
beating the PD Vipers and the Lynchburg Titans. So like our good friend Jerice Crouch says, they are on their way to accomplishing that undefeated season that they are looking for.
And
so,
I think that they will have no trouble doing it.
Absolutely. So go check out our friends at the Lancers and the Sharks. Also got to tell you about some other sponsors. Wait, first, we can't forget about this. At the Rock Podfest, I did say that we would pick some winners for a pair of Lancers tickets and also for a
pizza.
A pizza.
Delicious Salvatore's large pizza.
A delicious. Delicious. John, how good is Salvatore's pizza?
Oh, man. It's. Can you get a better slice in town? First of all, the slices are the size of your head. Does it get any better than that?
No.
No.
And Soccer Sam literally says that on his...
as big as your head.
Right. Anyways, our friend Theo in studio, can you... Do you have the hat? Can you pick pick a winner out of the hat? Hold
roll,
on.
Roll,
hold
the
on.
Drum roll.
All right, tell me when you're ready. Tell me when you're ready.
All right, here we go.
All right, tell me when you're ready. Okay.
Drum roll. All right, the winner is Red Thunder Retro.
All right.
All right, Red Thunder Retro.
You have won two tickets to the an upcoming Lancers game, and we're going to pick one more. Let me do this. This one probably works a little better. And for the winner of the Salvatore's Pizza, don't tell me Red Thunder Retro.
Red Thunder Comedy.
All right, plus Red Thunder Comedy. Congratulations,
Red Thunder Comedy.
Are you sure? Is that wasn't the same one?
How do we can't know for sure, but
it was retro and comedy.
Okay,
two different.
Well, sounds like Red Thunder.
It sounds
your
like Red
brand
Thunder,
kind
yeah.
of swept the prizes. So I'll get in touch with you on the social media. Got to tell you about one of my favorite places. That would be. The Mirage, 414 Westridge Road in Rochester. Does this fit?
This does.
Does
it? Did you read these?
Yeah, I did. I did. Oh, it's Red. No, it's Red Trunker. Red Trunker Radio, Mr. Irwin. Anyways, come visit our sponsors at the Mirage, 414 Westridge Road, your source for the most fun in Rochester. They have the hottest girls and the coldest beer 7 nights a week. Go visit them. You will see up to 15, 20 of the hottest girls any given night of the week. And they also have the coldest beer. Happy hour Friday afternoon. Come at 4 p.m. for happy hour.
It's a very happy, happy hour.
It is
hour.
Very happy, happy hour. You'll see some very beautiful ladies. They'll come and visit you. Also, Saturday night, happy hour, 7 o'clock. Free admission during happy
free
hour.
Admission.
That's right.
Free
will
admission.
Will not cost you a dime to get into the Mirage. That is the Mirage, 414 Westridge Road. Proud sponsors of Rochester Sports Mumblings. Also, Theo, do you want to do one? You want to tell us about Joey's Place?
Joey's Place, 936 Portland Avenue. 1595 oil changes, if you mention the show.
1599, that's it.
Serving community for 5 years. Exceptional service. 8 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. 585-319-4562. Okay. Most reasonable price in Rochester.
Okay.
Hey.
Coming today.
Let me ask you a question. 1599.
Served
wow.
service before the snow really starts. Brr.
Well, I think the snow has started, Joey. Was that Joey we were speaking
I'll say
to?
Joey.
That was Joey. Joey.
Of course.
I'm the only one down here at Joey's Avenue.
Of course, our friend Mark Sotili, the goalkeeper for the Rochester Lancers, is the owner and the mechanic at Joey's Place. So that is his shop. Please support him.
Definitely.
What was the number again, Joey?
Yeah, the number is 585-319-4562.
All right.
That's 585-319-4562.
All right. And we also have to thank Rochester Sports and Physical Therapy, too, located at 125 Red Creek Drive, right off of Calkins Road in Henrietta, is your home for all of your physical therapy needs. I've been going over there to rehab my knee, had surgery, and it's been going fantastic. Katie and Edna are the physical therapists there. They've been doing it for over 20 years. They have all the equipment that you could ever need there. It is a great atmosphere. They have a nice coffee machine there. I had some coffee today while I was there. Get out of the K-cups, you know. It's a good love a good K-cup. But whether you had surgery like me, have back pain, shoulder problems, a sprained ankle, anything that you could use physical therapy for, give them a call, Rochester Sports.
What if you don't have a prescription?
You know what, John? It's good you asked. If you don't have a prescription, there's no problem because most insurances cover at least 10 visits to physical therapy without a prescription. So
right on.
As long as you have insurance, give them a call. 10 visits at a minimum will be fine, and they can, extend it after the 10 visits, even without a prescription. Give them a call. Our proud sponsors of our podcast, give them a call, 334-8090. That's 334-8090. I think that's about going to do it for our show. Thanks. Rock Podcast was fun.
Oh, man, that was great.
Rock Podfest was very fun. Thank you to Vinny Paulino for putting that on.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun.
That was a great time. We'd love to do it again. And we thank you to rockpodcast.com. We are very happy to finally be a part of your network. One more time for Mr. Soccer Sam.
The Lancers are home Saturday, February 14th at the BCA, 1 p.m. It's Valentine's Day family matinee. Free kisses from Lancer players, dancers, and Lancer Louie. Call 872-KICK or ourlancers.com. Feel the kick, baby.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. For my partner, John Cargill, for Mark Sotili, who could not make it this week. I'm sure he'll be back next week. Theo Irwin, thank you for being here. I am Matt Goldman. Thank you to Corey Bellamy for joining us, and thank you to Ryan Schofield from the Skull Zone, and also, of course, Dominic Cicluna. Until then, enjoy your Rochester Sports Week, Rochester.
Enjoy your Rochester winter.
Let's do it.